Okay, here we are back. Hour number three. Let's head on over to, Hawaii used to be a real paradise. Let's just say the sociological map has changed a little bit in the last couple, 3 years. And it's, have you had your big pride parade there yet, Mr. Allgaier?
Oh, years ago, we've been having pride parades. Years, there's been a gay pride parade here for like, I don't know, ever since I, 20 years. Hey, that music, the intro music, I want that music. That sounded like, it starts out like Shostakovich, and then it goes into, there's been a coup, and Dick Allgaier has been installed. I want that music. That was the best bumper music ever.
Third hour intro, yeah.
Yeah,
that's what you just heard.
I want to copy that. Right. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that's great.
it's very good, and I just we've worked very hard to get that done, and it's done. It's up there and running.
Kind of sums up the times. Who you have somebody that did that for you?
Yes.
They did a good job. My compliments. Okay, back to Hawaii and our gay pride. Yeah, we've had a nice pride parade.
You know what the problem is, Richard? The problem is simple. It's the people who go to watch these things. That's the problem. We got videos yesterday of the weekend events, and you got people, mostly white, fat, overweight, pudgy mothers with their little children, six deep, and they're cheering and applauding the most depraved things I've ever seen in a public setting. That's the problem.
Well, I usually throw candy. I'm in my leather things with the butt cut out,
yes.
And I'm dancing up there, and I throw candy to the kids and me and some of my friends.
Right.
It's
well, you were the grand marshal 1 year. I remember.
Yeah. And I was really good at it. That was great.
Please.
You've got to have a sense
day.
Of humor because this. Jeff, I did. I feel like I'm you. I videotaped a remote viewing session today. I did it at my wife's restaurant because my house is too messy. There's no place I can shoot me remote viewing because there's too much stuff everywhere. So I went down to a table at the restaurant, set up upstairs before it opened, videotaped remote viewing. Then I did a market analysis segment. Then I interviewed the Ken Schwartz of C60 for an hour, and now I'm here. So I'm a little loopy, so we're going to have fun.
Yeah.
It's always a good time with you.
We do have a good time. Richard was supposed to be on last Monday, but didn't work out because of my incompetence, and he's here tonight. So there we go. So you went to, wait a minute. Now, you went to the wife's restaurant where she's a manager, and you went in there, and tell me what it was like being in a busy restaurant. It's usually busy.
No, it wasn't busy. I needed a nice table with a nice backdrop. So they have this kind of Asian screen back there, and it's a really nice looking shot. The restaurant wasn't open. It was closed, so it was quiet.
I missed that. All right.
Yeah, no, it was before it opened. It was an hour and a half before it opened. And so I was upstairs, and it has track lighting, so I can kind of make the lighting the way I want it. I can set the camera up with a little depth of field. And I didn't really remote view. It was kind of sort of half pretending. You know, I got paper, and I went through the mode. I did a couple little things, but I didn't do a full session. I just needed some video of me.
You're just getting shtick. Shtick.
I'm doing a presentation. I remote viewed Napoleon, and it was one of the best sessions I've ever done. I really got a lot of good data. Yeah. Okay. Well, since I'll talk about it, I was going to talk about that later, but we'll get to it right to it.
Who tasked, I've got a lot going on. Richard, who tasked Napoleon? That's an interesting target.
Well, no, it's even more interesting because the reason we were tasked was because there is a report that Napoleon was exhumed. His skeleton was exhumed by a French researcher in recent years, and they wanted to do some testing to see, like, what was he poisoned or did he have cancer or what?
Yeah.
What could they find out?
Him.
You know.
Yeah.
Why was he so short? That was one of the things they were looking at. Did he have some genetic? So they were, and so the story goes. They x-rayed his skull, and they found something that shouldn't be there, a little chip.
Oh, come on.
A microchip implant. That's
what?
Okay.
Do we have pictures of this?
Allegedly. Now, we were given that as a remote viewing target. Mm-hmm. And when we were given the feedback, the remote viewers all scoffed and went, oh, why are you giving us this kind of, you know, this that target has no credibility. And Daz, like, while we're doing the debrief, Googled it and said, that was totally debunked. That was a made up thing. It was taken down. But we have sources who you know about that tell us, no, that really, you know, the debunking was that. Apparently, okay, if you want to get into the whole, we like really good woo-woo stuff here on the Jeff Renz
program.
Go
to it. Yeah, yeah.
What we've been told is that famous people they hurried to exhume famous people and get rid of the chips because they were going to go, why do these famous people have chips? That the story we're told, I'll pose this as a question, could it be that famous men or women, famous people throughout history, achieved greatness because they were selected and upgraded to bring humanity up. And so that was the remote viewing. So the target wasn't just Napoleon, it was the
famous people.
Retrieval of the chip. Every one of the remote viewers, like Daz Smith, the one that was scoffing, like, that's not, that can't be true. Why are you giving us a BS target like that? Daz Smith did a probe and said, oh, there's something in the guy's head. There's some little thing. And he drew the thing in the head.
Oh, my.
Now, Naeem, one of our young, really good remote viewers, Naeem is the coolest guy. And, Naeem drew the whole procedure. Like he said, there's this researcher and he's doing this and he held up like there's this thing they took out of him. Naeem had really excellent data on the chip. Edward Reardon did his Edward Reardon like really deep dive. And I got the like life and times of Napoleon and I'm doing a video on it. My data was really, I thought it was I thought it was a Roman emperor. I said, this guy wants to be a Roman emperor.
Well,
but it was
really
good data.
Remember for you newcomers out there, remote viewers, when they're tasked, get only a set of numbers and a set of letters usually. That's it. They don't know what it is, who it is, where it is. It could be anything. It could be Mount Everest. They have no idea. And when you have four remote viewers basically honing in on the same thing, Napoleon or somebody like Napoleon, an emperor sort of person, and each one of them says there's something in his head, you've got to sit up and take very careful notice of that. Go ahead.
Yeah, the target ID, what we were given was let me look it up. What was this?
Yeah, this would be instructive.
It was Okay, so I get an email and go, your next target is D8I7-C2V3. D8I7-C2V3. Like, not told anything about it. So I sit down and I did a session where I got like old Roman roads and like horses, animal hay, and no technology. So I by the low level data, I know I'm in the past. Mm-hmm. And then I got this guy and he's riding a horse, and it was a good session. But Jeff, it gets way more interesting than that. I really had a good, you know, I've been remote viewing 27 years now, and I remote view every week for clients. So we're doing it at a very high level, and we have a new tasker who is a dedicated tasker. So we've really cleaned the whole procedure up. And so I'm doing this target, and I see a death mask. And I go, I can see the face. I go, that's a death mask. I just knew what it was. And so I drew it, and I'm realizing, okay, this is somebody famous that had a death mask. So I do my session. And for 14 years, I've been trying to emulate my teacher, the great Glenn Wheaton, who is the remote viewer that most people have never heard of. He did a project in 2009 called A Message to the Past. And here's the setup for that. We're trying to figure out what happens when you remote view. Like when I remote view Napoleon, how can I be at my office in my condo in Makiki, Hawaii in 2023 and get data about Napoleon? We theorize that information moves. Information has to move. For it to get into my brain, it's got to move. Now, there's some remote viewers that say, well, time is all happening at once, or there's no such thing as space and time, or there's an Akashic record and you're just getting into the Akashic record. But we say information moves, and it's our theory that when you remote view, a part of you goes to the time and space of the target. So if I remote view and go to Napoleon in his time and space and bring back data, then data move from that place to my consciousness. Is it possible for me to affect the time and space of Napoleon? Like, if part of me is there and I've actually time traveled, can I do something there that will show up in the record that shouldn't have been there? And so Glenn Wheaton tried this in 2009 when we gave him a blind target, and it was Matthew Brady. So Glenn went back when Matthew Brady, the Civil War photographer, was having his picture taken. And you know that the pictures of the time, they had a long exposure. So Glenn went and tried to affect, like what we're trying to do is see if some part of the remote viewer can show up in a reflective surface. Can a viewer affect the photo emulsion at the time of the exposure of a
picture? Oh, you're getting into some very, very amazing areas here. I get it.
Could a viewer affect the plaster in a death mask? So I saw, okay, now I've been warned that I shouldn't talk about this too much. I should be careful. So I'm going to be careful, because this is getting to the magic, and there are people that can do magic and they run the world. So, okay, Glenn, I've already presented this so I can talk about it. Glenn went to the time that Matthew Brady was taking, having his picture taken. and he tried to write in the emulsion. He flipped a coin, a quarter, to see if it would be heads or tails, and it would be A, heads, B, tails, Glenn Wheaton. So it was heads. So he tried to write A, heads, GW. And Glenn called me one night. He was still blind to the target. He says, "You got to come over." I said, "Okay. I've got to do the news, Glenn. I'm on the air in 15 minutes. I'll come over after the newscast." So after the newscast, I go over. Glenn's all perturbed, and he pulls up this picture. He hasn't been told the target yet, but we've seen him work it, and he just described Matthew Brady to a T without naming him. And he pulls up this picture from the Library of Congress and says, "This is your guy." And I went, "Yeah." And he went, "Okay, I got to show you something. Zoom in here on his forehead, and you can just barely make out A, heads, W." So we're looking at this and seeing, did he manage to put this message into the thing? I did a presentation on this at the remote viewing conference. We started looking at this picture, and it's a really high quality picture, and it's in the Library of Congress. So it's been in the Library of Congress since 1770 or something. We start seeing, I could see faces of people in the reflection of his eyeball and reflection of his glasses, and stuff started popping up. It was the creepiest thing. Like, I think after we published it, other people tried to go back and see if they could affect it. So that was here I am on, I'm working this blind target, and I know there's a death mask, and I don't know who it is, because I'm not, you couldn't show me a death. I couldn't recognize it. I could tell it was a death mask. So I go,
got it.
I finish my session, and I think, this is an emperor. This guy's an emperor. I think he's Roman, but he spoke Latin and French. I'm thinking, is it Napoleon? Is it? See, I don't know. I'm getting data. This. So I said, okay, I'm going to write. I'm really going out on a limb on this one. So I wrote, I drew the death mask. This is before feedback. I'm still blind.
Uh-huh. Right.
And I said, we have this little Nemo, this little face that we use. It's an NLP face. It's a face with two eyes, and it's got radials through it.
Uh-huh.
And we use that constantly in remote viewing. It's unique to the Hawaii Remote Viewers Guild method. So I'm going to put that in there, and I'm going to write the word ham, H-A-M. And the reason for ham, that's an anagram. I did an entrainment, a demonstration, a little magic trick with Paul Smith, where at the conference where I presented on Glenn's thing, I did something that was going to involve Paul Smith, a prediction, and I needed an anagram because I wanted him to hold it. So I looked up anagrams, and Paul Smith rearranges to ham tulips. So I gave Paul an envelope that said ham tulips. I said, "Hold this, Paul." At the end of my presentation, I called him up. I said, "You have this. It's ham tulips. That is the anagram for your name, Paul Smith." Open it up, and it was, I had predicted something, and it was, yeah, I got applause. So ham tulips dates back to 2009. So I thought ham tulips is a little odd. So I'll try to write ham in this mask. And so get the feedback, like, here we are. Here's the remote viewers. Tell us what you think about the target. I said, I think it was he wanted to be a Roman emperor. And they said, oh, that's good. It was Napoleon in this chip. So I said, okay, while I was still blind, I saw his death mask. We want to look on his death mask and see if there's a Nemo icon in the plaster above his right eye on his temple and the word ham. And Jeff, on the next program with you next month, we'll take a look at that. I'll publish that out. I got to put it on my private site first.
Send it over.
So that's
yes. Not now. Oh. Just send it over when you can. Yeah. I got to see this.
Yeah, I will.
You know a door you just opened, and Glenn, don't worry, I'm not going to push too hard. But you just opened a door that suggests First of all, time travel. I'm being loose here with these terms.
Okay.
Time travel and being able to change reality in the past to the extent that you might be able to change reality in the future.
Yeah, or I'm looking at all possibilities here.
There's many more.
There may be one. Yeah. Pareidolia. That is seeing faces and clouds that aren't really there.
Right.
You know, like, oh,
pareidolia.
Look, I see, the,
I see I got
Jesus
yeah.
on a Christ in the sunset.
Right.
People see that. It could be that. Or maybe it's I'm working hard on this and we're working so hard on this that we create a spell, a mask to where it's a suggestion thing that people go, oh, yeah, I see that. Because it's like
an energetic projection that makes people see something on the mask when it's really not there. But you've imprinted that idea or that concept onto the mask so much so that other people will fall under that spell. I like that idea, the magic, and they'll see it. And it may not necessarily really be there, but the essence of the message is there, and the people will see it. How interesting.
Yeah.
How fascinating.
Well, for the record, this was, there goes a, you hear that motorcycle?
That's lovely. This is your new country home on 20 acres, is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the gardener. He's driving the, you know, mm-hmm. this things go by all the time. Just for the record, I'm not going to push this any farther. That was fun. I'm not going to try to alter anybody's reality. I'm not going to get too involved in that because it's,
no,
I think it's out of my league. But it was an interesting,
that's the understatement of the day. It was interesting. That's absolutely mind-boggling is what it is.
Well, wait at least just my session on Napoleon was pretty darn good. What got me onto Target was cannons. He loved cannon. I started getting words: cannonade, enfilade, defilade. He hated the Cossacks. I go, this guy hates Cossacks. The Cossacks attack him from the flank, and it just, like, he wants to, and I hear him swearing in French at the Cossacks. So it was a...
You were on the Great March with him?
I don't know. I was in some, there was some battle. It was like, it was guys all lined up, and he'd let loose these cannon volleys, and he thought it was beautiful the way it would... mow people down. He loved killing people. So that's, let me plug our new site. I just had to revamp our business. I thought I was so clever. I'm not a very good businessman, Jeff. I'm a good remote viewer, but running a business. So I did this. We did, what was our last big one we did? Elon Musk or some cryptos or something. And I did a lot of promotion. I went on a lot of YouTubes and I did a whole thing like sign up today for our Patreon site. And I got people to sign up and we had this introductory $10 thing. So people sign up for $10 and like, look, you got 50 new subscribers. I'm patting myself on the back. And we did an analytic because we do everything in high def video, the streaming of the video and the storage of the video. For a $10 subscriber, we lose money. You were like, Lizzie, it costs us money to have someone pay $10.
Can we go? I'm going to step aside just for a minute to go back. The concept is that some of the great figures in history have been aided, abetted, assisted, influenced by chips that were implanted in their brains. I want people to understand that is a fascinating concept. Well, it would suggest that, first of all, Questions.
Okay.
Simple questions. How did the chip get there? Who put it in? Or did somebody from now or whenever go back there and do it and then return? I mean, there are all kinds of things here. This is...
Well...
And if there is something in there and there's a picture of it, oh my. That's all
I
can say.
Well, here's what my remote viewing showed. And this could just be the imagination of a crazy old guy in Hawaii who thinks he's a remote viewer. But what I saw was he had an experience where there was a bright light thing, like going through a portal. Like, I mm-hmm. thought it was a near-death experience. Like, it scared him, and he was escorted, like a near-death experience, but he went through it like a stargate. Like, there mm-hmm. are portals mm-hmm. where they get taken to another place, mm-hmm. and, like, another they can go from here to there through like a stargate is the best description. And they get like, okay, you're going to be a great man. You're chosen. You're a special soul. Here they're told a bunch of stuff. Like my remote viewing was, he got a download, and then they chip them so that they can, you know, it's what Elon Musk is trying to do now. He's trying to put a neural net so people can have greater knowledge and greater communication. Okay. Jeff, this place was created. We were created. There's some place that's running us and watches. They watch what we do. They dole out technology as needed. And some people need to upgrade humanity and do certain things so they get told what to do.
These are the watchers or the creators, whatever, that are messing. This is their petri dish, and they're doing all kinds of things. I knew this. You probably did too, and many of you listening, when you were younger, when you realized the DNA issue, and when they had mapped out all the DNA components, and they were all like plug-ins on this spiral. The twin spiral, it's a machine. It's a machine. It's a sentient machine.
It's assembly. And those who create us have DNA like recipes.
Sure.
You know, they say like some of our DNA is deactivated.
That's what they say.
Well, that's because they have DNA off the shelf, like, okay, planet X37C in Andromeda is going to be hotter and more gravity and less rich oxygen, you know, and whatever. And so they can activate this DNA, and they want these people to be a little smarter, or they're going to be better at scaling cliffs because there's a lot of whatever, you know, they can tailor make the DNA. That was something I got in a remote viewing session.
I got into this head thing about that, I think before college or right about college time. It just didn't make sense that it would be some Darwinian random that did. No. It was all too, it was a machine. It's a plug-and play. And it can be altered.
It's a machine. It's a machine. It's a bodysuit to function in this planet, in this terrarium, this biosphere. And
that's
then,
good.
Well, that's what it is. And then, a soul is brought in and paired up with it. And then the soul has the experience in that bodysuit. And the bodysuit is a battery, it's like a capacitor. So there's a lot of energy involved. But this is starting to come out because we're going to come into a time where people realize that. Let me plug our site. We have a new site.
Uh-huh.
It's called futureforecastinggroup.com, all one word.
Pretty long.
Future
Forecasting Group. .com, okay.
Yeah, we wanted to be like rents.com, but that was already taken. So
I could have given you sightings.com. You want sightings.com?
Well,
that's a one worder.
No, we've beautiful. Already done. It's all one word. Future Forecasting Group, all one word. It's a lot of letters. Futureforecastinggroup.com. And here's the thing. And by the way, Jeff, we did a poll of our subscribers, and one of the top ways they come to know us is the Jeff Rents program. So thank you.
That's fun.
We no longer have Patreon. We're doing Patreon. It did its thing for us, but if anybody has a crypto viewing Patreon membership, cancel it. Don't renew it because we have the new site and a new payment thing. So we're in a transition. So it's all futureforecastinggroup.com. And people that listen to your program and love Harry Cooper, we just published something with Harry doing a conversation with a very special gentleman who you've heard, but we don't put in public, in private only. And they were talking about the last battalion, the end of the World War II, who went down to Antarctica and what they did and why Dwight Eisenhower had to go to Bariloche.
Oh yeah, and Obama and Clinton. I don't understand the circumstances of this conversation with Harry. How did it work? I don't get it. Help me out a little bit more. So Harry sits down. Yeah.
Harry, okay. We have special conversations for our private site, which we only play in private because certain things can't be told. So you buy a membership and you get to hear from some very well-informed people.
Right.
And one of those people is a source of Harry Cooper. It's the way I got to know. Well, Harry introduced me to this guy, you and Harry. And because Harry is such an expert in World War II, the true history, and Harry had a great interest in Antarctica and was going to try to go there. And his people, you know, he got stopped and threatened.
Oh, yeah, we know the story. Yeah. Yeah.
He was uninvited.
Disinvited.
Disinvited. Better grammar. Somebody sat down with Harry and explained what happened with that bird down there and why the real end of World War II, Jeff, the formal ending of World War II, didn't happen until one night in 1952. When the ships appeared over the Capitol in the White House.
I'm right with you. Yeah.
Yep. That was the,
I know
folks
who they were.
That, So
that was the big UFO flyover over Washington, D.C. For you who don't understand what exactly we're saying, you can look it up. UFOs over Washington, D.C., 1952. There are pictures of it. They had radar on ground radar stations there, and they picked everything up on radar. It was all for real. And it's quite a story. Well, that's a very neat thing that you did with Harry. Good.
Yep. Oh, how's that for a... That was my telephone going off. Sorry about that.
That's a real nice ringtone, Harry.
Oh, wait.
I like that. Give that to Cooper. He'd like that. So sound like a
Somebody's
klaxon
calling
on a
me,
U-boat.
Jeff, and I'm on a radio show. I gotta hang up. Okay, sorry.
No, it sounds like a klaxon
okay,
on a
sorry,
U-boat.
Jeff, I'm back.
Harry would like that.
I wanted to talk to you about the Schumann resonance. Have you seen the Schumann chart recently?
You sent it to me. I got it. Well, let me ask you one thing first. Hold on. I went to Future Forecast.
Hang on. I threw my audio system off.
All right.
Richard, we get
sent
cut
me
off
a new Schumann. No, we're here. We're here. You're fine.
Hang on, Jeff.
Todd, tell him he's fine.
I've lost audio.
We hear you. We hear you. Hi, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, we're going to call you back, Richard. So hang up. I'll send him an email. Let's see. Okay. Hang up and we will call you. All right, very good. Okay. All right, we got him back. All right, Richard, we can hear you. We could hear you before. You couldn't hear me. So we're okay. All right, we're working on it. That's a very fascinating conversation for Harry Cooper to have with somebody who knows what really happened down there. I'm sure he was
be back,
enchanted.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. We could hear you, but you couldn't hear me.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't turn my phone off and somebody called me and the iPhone is so invasive. It threw my whole audio off. So the phone took over Skype. So sorry about that. So I was talking about the Schumann resonance. Have you seen the Schumann resonance?
You sent me a chart. I have it.
Okay, the Schumann resonance, I don't really understand it, but it's like a set of spectrum waves.
Simple for people, it's the Earth is we'll call it a living organism, and it vibrates at a certain frequency. That frequency can change. When I was in college, we used to talk about it a lot and study it and read about it. It wasn't much known, and it was something like either 7.83 or 9.4 megahertz or kilohertz or something, but it had a frequency.
783. Yeah.
783. All right.
What? So it. Humans are designed to resonate with that. One thing I've heard is that when the Germans went off planet for the first time, when they took their flying discs, their anti-gravity machines, that they didn't take into account the Schumann resonance, and the first guys went like, you know, barking mad, and they realized that they needed to have something that would generate a Schumann resonance in the capsule to keep them from.
Oh, how interesting!
I guess they just came unglued. Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
The Schumann resonance is supposed to be like 7.83, I think you said. If you look at the chart, it's been totally off the chart lately, and there's something pulsing that makes geometric shapes. The Earth doesn't naturally it looks like one of those waterfall displays. So it's these straight smears of color, like it'll be blue and green, and if it gets kind of intense, it's white. Now it's like white hot white at the top and down below. I should have given that to your web guy to put up. It's got like geometric patterns, like when you shoot sound at water or sand or something. Somebody's pulsing us, Jeff.
These are externally generated?
I think so. I can feel it because of my remote viewing. I'm really attuned to other stuff like that. And I know that people have been saying they get real tired. I'll put this out to all the listeners. Have you just felt a wave of like semi-dizziness and like you just can't, you just have to lay down for about 10 or 15 minutes in the past couple weeks? I had an episode today. So something's going on with the Schumann resonance. It's not looking really good. Hey, what's really going on in Russia? Do you have any idea? I see what's going on there.
Yes.
I look at the TV and I realize it's everything they say on TV about it is a complete lie.
It's a load of horse manure. I'll tell you. Hold on. Tomorrow night, I'll call you after the program, and I know, and I'll let you know. But I'm holding it off because credit to Mitchell Henderson. Tomorrow night, Mitch will be on tomorrow night. Don't miss it. I'll call you later, but I'll let you know. Anyway, it's
I'll listen to the program.
Don't miss
know
that
everything they're telling us is a complete lie.
Complete lie, and it is the truth of it is actually hilarious. It's really funny. It's like a Hollywood movie. It's funny. All right, but it has nothing to do with what they're telling
you. One thing that I know about it is apparently the Russian mercenaries are getting paid in pound sterling. That the pound sterling is the one. It's the
safe.
One.
Monetary Russia will still
unit,
accept.
You know, that the
well,
Russians okay. will still accept.
They're moving Wagner, the Wagner group, the Wagner forces. They're moving them to Belarus. They're building three new camps for the Wagner forces around a military base. Wagner is not disbanded at all, which ought to tell a lot of you just about everything you need to know about the premise of this. It's all deception. This is really funny, though, because there was a reverse pulled on the CIA in this whole thing. The CIA tried to perpetrate this. That's all I'm going to say. Tomorrow night, though, you're going to hear the whole story.
Well, I figured CIA had something to do with it, and Victoria Nuland brought the whole thing to us. So, yeah, that'll be a good program tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. That.
I have a friend
we knew about
in
this
Canada.
On Saturday, by the way. We've just been sitting on it. We'll have it tomorrow night.
Yeah. So see if this jibes with what you get tomorrow. Is they're paid in pounds sterling, and that's the British crown currency, and the British crown is keeping their currency strong as all the other currencies are falling. The British pound, they're still doing wheeling and dealing.
The bloodlines.
The king.
Protect themselves.
I got a friend in Canada, and I was doing a segment with him, and he told me that they can no longer share news on social media, that he tried to send somebody a link to a web, like, here's an article, here's a YouTube or something, and what got through on, like, Twitter and other social media is a picture of it, but no link. And they won't let you quote it. So they're clamping down on sharing news. Canada, our neighbors.
Yeah.
And I was told 2.5 years ago that was going to happen. Someday, so.
Yeah, you were right. Whoever told you knew. And they're making it a felony? There are all kinds of new laws that are being pushed that have been introduced that are so beyond constitutional in this country. It's staggering.
Hate speech. You can't make somebody feel bad.
That's what we talked about earlier tonight. If somebody goes to the cops and says, you cannot upset somebody with what you say, or you can be prosecuted and potentially go to prison. That's here. It's exasperating.
So if you say accurately that, like, well, that woman is obese and she's going to have health problems because she weighs 340 pounds.
Well, if you
and
upset
that upsets her,
you're in trouble. Yeah.
Or if you say, that's really a guy. I mean, that guy's got a hairy chest. He's wearing a dress, but that's a guy. No, he identifies as a.
Right.
That's getting a little bit much.
It's way much. You saw the parade in Seattle, yes? The Pride Parade.
I didn't.
Well, all the males in it weren't. They didn't even have Speedos on. They had nothing on, and they were riding their bicycles with nothing on, and going up
to the
crowds on each side of the street with little children, and the mothers would hold their hands out and grab the hands of these bicycle riding boys and nude boys and shake their hand and applause and cheers, and They're cheering their own demise. It's the end. Yeah. They're cheering the destruction of their children. And they're six deep on each side of the street. The parade wasn't in the street. It was on the sidewalks. Those freaks were out there cheering this depravity. I could not believe it. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah. I'll do a little crypto update for you. You sent a really interesting article. Fabio Panetta, the executive board member of the European Central Bank, has suggested a dark future for cryptocurrencies in which digital assets may be used for a little more than gambling among investors. They trot that out all the time. His written remarks for a panel at the Bank for International Settlements. Oh, man. These are the guys that designed cryptos. And what they need to do is those in charge, they need to get a certain number of people to accept cryptos so the system can be brought online gradually. The fiat money system, the current debt-based currency, the U.S. dollar, Bretton Woods, all that is going away. Its lifespan is over. It's going to go to digital money. Somebody told me that 5 years ago. I only had to be told once, 6 years ago, actually. So they're sending mixed messages, Jeff, because if they come out and they say, well, we've decided to make the new system distributed ledger crypto currency, it would crash the system immediately. Everyone would go, wow, get rid of your dollars, and it would be pandemonium. So they're trying to do an orderly changeover. So they leak out some word about cryptos. You know, hey, cryptos are the future. You buy some Bitcoin, you're going to have champagne parties, you're going to buy a Lamborghini. And then they come out and they say, whoa, wait, no, it's just for drug dealers. No, we don't support that. And then you see them. When you see central banks starting to buy Bitcoin, that's when the average person will never be able to buy Bitcoin again, because the central bank money will pour in and it will be, one Bitcoin will be generational wealth. You heard it here first.
Wow.
So,
wow.
As,
what's the timeline on this before crypto recovers enough to?
It was my understanding in 2018 that they were going to bring it on by 2021, 2020, 2021. But there's certain benchmarks that they've got to meet, and they didn't get it done. I mean, it's a big job, changing the entire financial system of the world, and they're going to tokenize everything. They've got to design systems to have, like, energy is going to be tokenized so that the whole energy grid will be run on tokens, and healthcare will be tokenized, and food distribution.
These will not be physical tokens, though. I think people need to understand.
No, it's a distributed ledger. So what it is it's a blockchain. It's a stream of information that is verified by multiple computer systems. So you can't just go in and change it. The whole system has to agree on any alteration of the blockchain. And once it's been laid down, it's immutable. So everything is going to be tokenized. They're going to track everything, Jeff. They're going to track everything you do. And I talk with a lot of people who say, well, I'm going to resist this. I'll never go along with that. It's evil. These guys are Satan. And I just won't acquiesce. But you're already, you know, if you're using an iPhone, if you bought cryptocurrency, you're under the international rules already. I don't think there's any way to escape it. So me, I'm embracing it, accepting it, and it's a chance. They don't care if some of us get wealthy. So some of us are buying in, and we will do okay. But it's going to be a different future. It's going to be a way different future. It's the whole thing, everything is contracts, commerce, and accounting. The day you are born, you get a birth certificate And Jordan Maxwell, the great Jordan Maxwell, told us all about this, you know, the certificates and the accounting. The accounting is done in a county. That's why you have the county. And there's the music. It's always great talking with you, Jeff. I'll listen to your program on Russia tomorrow. And when Napoleon comes out, I'll come back and we'll do a segment.
Please. Yeah, that'd be very important. If there's some photographic documentation of that, an item in his skull, wow, everything changes. Yeah. Well, all right.
It would be a neat trick if I could have done it. We'll see. See if we let it off. Thanks,
wonderful
Jeff.
Stuff,
always
as
great
always.
Talking to you.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Okay, talk soon.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Right. Bye-bye.
Richard Allgaier in Hawaii. Fabulous conversations, always with Dick. Okay, that's it tonight. Back with you tomorrow. Thanks for being here. Take care.